This is the Talking Tigers Podcast, presented by the Alabama Department of Public Health. Don't wait. Vaccinate. Protect yourself and others against COVID and flu. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. Here's Andy Burcham with another Talking Tigers podcast.
When you think of Samantha Cerio's career at Auburn, you may think about her last competition, a near catastrophic injury that occurred in the NCAA tournament. And there's so much more to the story. As an infant, she was adopted from China. Cerio grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. Her folks put her into gymnastics because of her boundless energy. Cerio committed to Auburn as a 15-year-old, and during her time on the Plains, she was part of Auburn's first win over Alabama in over 30 years. She also settled on engineering as a major. An internship at Boeing has turned into her career. She worked on the team that was part of the Artemis launch recently. The Auburn story of Sam Cerio is featured in this Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health. And welcome into the Talking Tigers podcast. Very glad to be joined by Samantha Cerio, joining us now, former Auburn gymnast, part of the Artemis launch recently, has taken that Auburn degree and using that at this point. So Sam, War Eagle, and welcome to the Talking Tigers podcast.
War Eagle, Andy, thank you for having me on.
Sam, if you would, let's start from the beginning. Where was home for you? Where did you come from to Auburn gymnastics?
Yeah, so I grew up in Charlotte, North Carolina. I was adopted by my parents. So I was actually born in Wuhu, China. And they put me into gymnastics when I was super young. I was around 4 when I first started, mostly because they said that they tried some other sports with me. But gymnastics seemed to be the only true energy outlet that I had. So they're like, this is the only thing that stops you from bouncing around the walls at home.
Sam, what have they told you about your adoption? What have they told you about where you came from and what your life was like before the adoption?
Yeah, so my parents have been super open about my adoption. It's something that I really have enjoyed about their parenting style. If I had any questions, if they could answer them, they tried to as best they could. I was actually adopted when I was right about at 14 months old. So I don't really remember a lot of, during that time, but my parents do have a lot of pictures. They have some videos of their trip over to China and just their trip and travels back into the States with me. So I thought that's been pretty cool.
How young were you when they told you about the adoption?
I can't really pinpoint an exact moment, but I know that they've always been open about it. I remember being in elementary school, it was always cool because my mom during the Lunar New Year would come in every time for the Lunar New Year and talk about the history behind it and kind of more on what China does as a country for it. So she was always very open about me wanting to learn my Chinese history and heritage. And that's something that I've always really enjoyed about my parents. Anytime there was some kind of lunar festival or Chinese New Year event or something with the Mid-Autumn Festival, we'd do something together. So I always really enjoyed that. My parents never really shied away from me being adopted. Okay. So I really liked that.
Do you have any brothers or sisters?
I do. I have one brother. He's also adopted. He was adopted in the U.S., so he was born in Orlando.
All right. So what was life like growing up in Charlotte, North Carolina for you?
Yeah, it was really fun, I will say. So we lived outside of Charlotte, but I like to say Charlotte just because most people can recognize that city, especially now that it's become such a booming metropolis. I really remember having a lot of fun when I was younger, before I really got into gymnastics, played a lot with the neighborhood kids. We had quite a few in our little cul-de-sac area that we lived in. So it was always fun. We were riding bikes, we were playing outside, climbing trees. And I remember once I got into gymnastics and got more serious about it, I ended up just spending a lot of my time just doing schoolwork and practicing. So there wasn't really, it gave less time to be more of a kid. But I really enjoyed my life inside the gym. I was always there, always loved hanging out with my teammates and admiring the older gymnasts that were there, because they ended up being some of my biggest role models and helped push me to be a better gymnast too.
Where did you train, Sam?
So I went through a few gymnastics programs. I started at the Gym Company and then went to Everest Gymnastics and then finished at KPAC. So I ended up going through a few gyms, just trying to figure out what worked best for me, what coaching style worked best for me, where I could grow my own self as a gymnast. So I finished my career at KPAC and then ended up coming into Auburn after that.
Do you remember a time where you realized that gymnastics was something that was going to carry you forward, perhaps into college or maybe the international realm? Do you remember when you knew how important gymnastics was going to be to your future?
I don't think so. And I think it's really because my parents always emphasized they wanted me to have fun. This was a sport that they wanted me to enjoy doing and just loved being able to be there. And there was always that like, oh, this would be really cool if you had the ability to maybe have opportunities for international competition, or be really cool if you could get a college scholarship. That was something that we never really looked on that much. That wasn't something I was ever really pressured into or anything until I'd probably say 7th or 8th grade. Just because that's really when I started getting scouted by collegiate coaches. And that was something when my parents and I were like, oh my gosh, like this could actually be a real thing. This would be so cool. What a great opportunity it would be, just because, you know, not college at this point is a little more expensive than most people would want. And it's just a great opportunity to be able to get that higher level education as well as continue doing a sport that I loved. So I thought that was something that I really enjoyed, especially with my parents. They always, like I said, emphasized loving what I did. And if I didn't like it, even after I had gotten a scholarship, they're like, it's okay. We can work through this. We can figure stuff out. So I really love the fact that my parents were never people that truly pushed me to do something that I didn't like. Yeah. And I think that's something that helps me love the sport even more.
When did you know that engineering was going to be important to your future?
Getting recruited by collegiate coaches. Like I said, my parents and I realized, oh, this could be a real thing. This could be a great opportunity. So I needed to figure out what I kind of wanted to do with my life, kind of my career path going through. And there were always a lot of different careers that I thought about I thought about maybe going into sports psychology or doing something with physical therapy. But I also knew that I really enjoyed science. I really enjoyed math. So I started looking into other career paths with that. I looked into chemistry and I looked into engineering. And really, I found that a good balance of what I really enjoyed doing in life was engineering, and that there were so many different possibilities and so many cool jobs and just doors that could open if I had an engineering degree. So I thought that was a really cool thing. So I talked to my parents about it, and that was one big factor when it came down to it, when I was being recruited, of, well, what university has great engineering courses, great engineering degrees? What could I do with it if I have this degree from this college?
What's the first time you heard from Auburn, Sam?
The first time I heard from Auburn, I was in 8th grade, I believe.
Okay. It happens early in gymnastics, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's crazy. I verbally committed to Auburn my 16th birthday. Was it my 16th birthday? It was either my 15th or my 16th birthday. It was freshman. So I committed my sophomore year. Sorry.
Okay. You come to Auburn and you're part of a program that's building. What do you think was considered your strength as far as the apparatus is concerned, coming out of high school, coming out of the club and coming to Auburn?
So if we talk about strength for apparatus, I knew that bars was one of my biggest strengths. It was one of my, it's always been my favorite apparatus to compete on anyway. I've really enjoyed being able to swing around on bars. And I know it definitely showed. One thing Jeff had always told us was he looked for girls who could do well in the all around, just in general. You know, they wanted well-rounded athletes in case you had unexpected injuries, in case you had a sickness, in case you needed someone to fill in. You knew that you had people that you could fall back on. So I thought that was a big confidence booster to me, knowing, hey, like, I know that bars is really what I shine on, but being able to be recognized for the other three events was something that I thought was a nice confidence booster in coming into the program, being like, I know I can, that my teammates can depend on me if I need to compete a different event.
If bars was your strength, what was the apparatus where you had to work the hardest?
I would say probably vault. I'm not a huge like powerhouse gymnast, so vault was always the event that I struggled on the most. And I remember telling Jeff when I walked in, I'm like, so I can vault for you, but I don't know if you want me to vault for you.
When you think back to your career at Auburn, and I know this may be an obvious question, but I want to hear your answer. When you think back to your career at Auburn, what are the constant memories that you have of competing, being a student athlete at Auburn University?
Oh my goodness. I think one of my favorite nights was when we're able to beat Alabama. And I mean, honestly, every night getting to compete, every Friday night Heights, getting to compete in the Auburn arena, there was just absolutely nothing like it. It's the biggest rush that I have ever felt in my life. And I think the closest thing to it is probably being in an Auburn football game, just like watching the energy and absorbing that energy and being a part of it. I think that's something, that's one of my biggest takeaways and something I'll never forget, is just competing in the Auburn arena. You feel all the energy of the crowd and your teammates and your coaches. And it's just the coolest thing to experience, because you know you have all these people that are cheering you on, that want you to do your best and are there for you no matter what. It's an indescribable feeling.
Do you notice the gymnasties when you're competing?
Really get used to them, so you don't notice them as much. I mean, you're aware that they're there. I remember when we'd be on beam, and one of our biggest things was trying not to psych ourselves out by looking at the competition and watching them. Like, we can listen to the music and dance to it, but just not watching them in case, you know, something bad could happen, or even something good. And, you know, you don't want to add that extra pressure to yourself to be like, oh, well, they did this, so now I need to do this. You know, I need to one up them. Watching the gymnasties do the initial pose and the final pose was always something that we really enjoyed doing.
Yeah. I talked with Coach Graba about that win against Alabama and the subsequent wins against Alabama. I get the idea from him, they wanted to get past the fact that beating Alabama was such a monumental thing. You want to beat everybody. And I understand it had been such a long time since that had occurred. And it was a big night. And I remember my wife and I were there. I remember that night vividly, but it's another opponent out there. What were your thoughts about how important that night was, and then moving forward after that night?
Well, you know, everyone always compares Auburn to Alabama in all sports, just because that's the rivalry. It's always Auburn versus Alabama, no matter what we're competing in. And I think because Sarah Patterson had built up such an incredible program at Alabama, it was always considered, whenever you looked at Auburn going against Alabama in gymnastics, it was always like, oh, Alabama's got this. You know, it wasn't, oh, maybe Auburn can do this. And I feel like that first win against them, because it had been, what, 32, 34 years since that had happened, I think it was a true turning point in showing that this team isn't just a building team. This team can actually do something and go somewhere and propel Auburn gymnastics to the next level. And I thought that was something that was really just amazing to be a part of, because we all knew that we had the ability to do this. I think the season after that, or a couple of seasons after, we ended up beating LSU, we ended up beating Alabama and Georgia and Florida. And those wins, because the SEC is such a powerhouse in gymnastics, meant so much to our team, knowing that, okay, we're a contender. We can do this. This is something that we are building upon every season, every competition. And you see that now with the with this past team, how incredible they did being able to make it to that Final Four. And I just awesome seeing how we were able to be a part of that to propel Auburn gymnastics to where it is right now.
All right. That's a great conduit to the next part. What does it mean for someone that was part of that building program now to see what Auburn gymnastics continues to be, and a Final Four and sold out nights now at Neville Arena? You can't find tickets. You can't find parking on Friday nights now at Neville Arena. What does it mean to be a part of that program when you guys were building to what it has become now?
I mean, you can talk to any gymnast, and gymnastics is just, it's my favorite sport in the world. It's beautiful. It shows true balance of strength and flexibility and gracefulness. And it's not something that you see in every sport. And it's so cool getting to be a part of something to help propel gymnastics and the NCAA to the next level. And especially with Auburn, seeing how well these girls are doing, knowing that what we've done is kind of paved the way for them to continue to be successful and push this program to the next level, has just been an indescribable thing to watch. I think when I watched them make the Final Four, I cried because I was like, this team is so good. It's so awesome that I can say that I was a part of getting there and knowing some of these girls and seeing them go from when they were being recruited to now being on the team, and just watching and seeing them shine has been so amazing.
It's a great day for Auburn Tigers to get vaccinated. COVID and flu vaccines are an important tool to help stop the pandemic. The Alabama Department of Public Health is offering the COVID and flu vaccines to anyone 6 months and older. COVID and flu are still on the rise. Don't let COVID and flu stop you from supporting your favorite team. Continue to help protect yourself, your friends, and our campus by getting the COVID and flu vaccines. For more information, visit alabamapublichealth.gov/IMM. When people think about Sam Serios, so many times it comes down to the injury. And I don't want to dwell on that because there's so much more to your story than that night, but it is part of the story. So if you would, just your memories of that and how it has affected you.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously my injury wasn't a great point in my life, but it definitely was a turning point in my life for a lot of things, showing that even if you have a plan, doesn't always work out. And I remember that night just going up there, getting ready to compete. Something had felt a little off, but you know, you kind of brush it off because you think it's just some jitters or some nerves or something. And that's the last thing you want right before you're about to go out there and compete. And I really don't remember that much during that night. I remember landing and then just like being on the floor and then being in the ambulance going over to the hospital. The next time I remember waking up, my mom was there. There's not too much that I remember from that day, but it definitely has helped proven to me that I can, if I have the willpower to be able to get through something, as long as I'm working hard towards it, it's something that'll help. And it also showed me how many people are there and actually care and support student athletes as people, not just as athletes that are just doing things on TV, and just the support that a community has when they come together to rally around a person is something that I've also learned. So community to me has always been a big thing, and looking for that in places where I live has been huge. And it really shows, and you can really be you can feel like you're a part of something special when you have that community around you. So it's been something that kind of lesson has been something I've taken with me everywhere that I've been since I've left Auburn.
How are your knees now?
They're awesome. They allow me to keep up with my sweet little golden retriever. Not that she's a runner. She's not a runner like her mom too. So it's great.
How often are you able to get back to Auburn, Sam?
My goal is always to get there at least twice a year, maybe once for a football game and at least once or twice for a competition. But I sometimes, you know, life doesn't work out. I'm hoping to be able to be up there for senior night or the alumni night to support the girls. I always want to be able to come back to Auburn at least once a year, just because Auburn's such a special place. It's got that energy as soon as you walk onto it. I know that I, the last time I was there was for the Penn State game for football. And I just remember I've been going through quite a few life struggles, and just driving onto Auburn, I felt this sense of relief because I felt like I was home. And that's truly a special thing to have. And just the connection that you have with the location and with this sense of community and the Auburn family is something that's indescribable, and not something that you can really experience until you've experienced it.
What you just said, I don't know how many times I've heard that from the Auburn family. And it's not just student athletes, but just people that came to this campus. They perhaps moved away for a career, and so many have come back here to retire. Another career has brought them back. But when they come back home, and I know we throw that word around a lot, but boy, I hear that a lot about from Auburn people, that when they come back on this campus, they feel this is part of them. Would you agree?
I would. Auburn's definitely a special place. And I know even when I have friends that have come to visit, they're like, this is weird. This feels weird. Like, there's something about this group of people. And I tell them all the time, I'm like, yeah, like if you come in for a football game, you go into Jordan Hare Stadium, like you're going to experience something that you've never experienced before. And they kind of get just a fraction of that whenever they come in. And because they're just like, yeah, like this place is special. There's something about it. And it's truly the people in the community that make it special. And I agree. Like, there are a lot of my engineering friends who are like, yeah, let's go. Let's like take a trip to Auburn. Let's do something. Go to a football game or basketball game or gymnastics meet or something like that, because they just miss being back there, because it's that sense of home and community where you truly built up your community before you go out into life. And I think that's what makes Auburn so special, is because you still carry that community with you after graduating.
When did Boeing become a part of your future? When did that happen?
So Boeing became a part of my future during junior year. I went to the STEM career fair and got to talk to a lot of different companies. And I was always thinking, you know, I was like, maybe I can just talk to these companies about like what I would need to do potentially for after graduation. I wasn't really thinking about an internship because I was like, well, you know, I have to train during the summer, so I need to figure that out. If I were to do something like that. And I started talking to the Boeing company, and it was just so cool because it was actually Ken McCormick. He's been one of my biggest influences since coming into the company. He's been one of my biggest mentors and supporters as well, who's also an Auburn alum. And he was just like, I love hiring Auburn students because they can just hit the ground running. And he was like, I know you're a student athlete, fill out this application for an internship. If you get it, we can make it work. And so I thought that was awesome to be able to have a positive support from the get-go. And so I filled that out. I waited a few months. I had an interview with them. And I ended up being able to get an internship with them. During the summer, I talked to Jeff. I was like, hey, like, I have this internship from the Boeing company, and I know that it's all through the summer, and I know that I need to train. Is there any way we can make this work? Because this is something that could set my future up. And he was like, yes, definitely, which is something I loved about our coaching staff, is they want you to succeed not only in the gym at college, but also they want you to be able to succeed after you graduate and go on to become your own individual person. So we ended up being able to work it out. I was able to train at a local gym up in Huntsville, Alabama. And I just was able to start working there and truly found that I had a passion for engineering and really enjoyed what I had been working on with the company, and was able to get a job from there.
All right. Where are you now?
Now I'm in Fernandina Beach, Florida. So I actually work from home, which is really nice. My dog enjoys it a lot. My office is technically in Titusville just because I've been working on these space programs. So Artemis 1. And so I've been working on that, as well as a couple of Navy programs as well, which I can't really talk about.
What did you do with regard to the Artemis program, or the Artemis launch?
Yeah, so I didn't do a lot with the actual launch itself, but what I did work on was do some analysis and design work with the rocket. And technically, Artemis 1 isn't quite what I touched on, but I touched more on the two, three, and four stages. So these next B rockets that'll go up after. But I got to work on both the core stage, which is that initial stage that actually boosts the rocket up out of Earth's atmosphere. And I worked on the upper stage, which is that second part of the rocket that propels it out further. And I just got to do I did some analysis with some of the smaller parts, as well as I did some systems engineering too. So a lot of looking at requirements and making sure that we were paying attention to those and following what we needed to follow for NASA to be able to get this rocket to go.
Did you watch the launch?
I did. I watched it actually on my computer. I was going to watch it in person, but I had already been down there a couple of times for some of the other launches. Unfortunately, were not successful.
Right.
And very early. So I was trying to plan it. I was like, I just unfortunately can't make it. But watching it online, watching all the subsequent videos, seeing there are a lot of people that have gotten photos of it, was just so cool to see.
It must be gratifying to be a part of that and mm-hmm. to see a successful launch. I can only imagine what it's like for those like yourself that this is part of your job now. This is part of your career.
It's so cool to see. Even when you work on just a small portion of the rocket, you're still able to say, hey, that's something I got to work on.
Right.
And so my parents now like to say, not rocket science. Now they're like, I guess it is rocket science.
Give us an update on your family, if you would, Sam.
Yeah. So my family's doing well. My brother just graduated from college from UNC Charlotte. And my parents are still residing in Charlotte right now, just enjoying life. And I get to see them on Christmas. So I'm excited for that.
All right. You think back to your days at Auburn. I mean, you were a true student athlete. It was time in the gym. It was time in study. So what comes to your mind when you think back to your days at Auburn, Sam?
Being a student and an athlete, I have very vivid memories of both in athletics. Like I said earlier, being a part of a team and competing in the Auburn Arena, now the Neville Arena, was just an unbelievable, unforgettable experience. But also on my student side, studying in Davis Hall, which is the Aerospace Engineering Building, just those long nights sometimes with friends, taking coffee breaks and running around in the halls because we're trying to keep ourselves awake, but still trying to get our work done. I just have so many memories of being with my friends and us trying to support each other and make sure that we're able to get our homework done or our deadlines done or something done. And just having that kind of camaraderie between all of us as well. So, and I know that I feel like in general, my biggest memory of Auburn is just being a part of two different communities that still fall into one category at Auburn, just being a part of Auburn.
Very well put. I hope you have a happy holidays, and we certainly appreciate the time you spent with us today, Sam. War Eagle.
War Eagle, Andy. Thank you so much. Happy holidays to you as well.
For Sam Serio and the Talking Tigers podcast, brought to you by Alabama Public Health, I'm Andy Burcham. Be strong and be courageous. War Eagle.